No racist comments. Let's go.
All right. Okay, welcome. Hello, humans. Welcome to the Audio Face podcast, the one and only podcast for now on the Syndicate 23 network. I am Dan Evans Nakamura, a.k.a. Dan from the internet, joined by my friend Sean Suarez.
Yep, Sean. And
yes, you are.
Yeah. I don't know, like, how to plug...
You have nothing to... Okay, well, tell
like me... Like, SW Suarez would be, everything...
On Twitter, on Instagram... What do you do with your life?
Yeah, triathlete, so swim, bike, run, and then musician, too. So
yes.
That's the two things I do.
Yes.
And then he does everything and anything he can think of.
I do everything under the sun. there's not really. I guess what's out there, my Dan from the Internet videos, like political news things. But this is not going to be a political show.
No.
Not talking too much politics,
no.
Although we'll see where that goes. But yeah, this is our podcast, and we're going to be talking about music news, music culture, all those things. It'll be a weekly podcast, hopefully going out on Sunday mornings. And
hopefully. This is the idea so far. We'll see how many we can pump every week.
We'll try it out for the summer, see how it goes. We'll love your feedback, or actually not, but yeah.
Please don't, geez, no.
No, totally. So, on Twitter, you can reach out to Sean at SW Suarez, and I am at Dan from the web, because there's some asshole who doesn't have a Twitter account, who hasn't used it in, like, years, who has Dan from the net.
It's like 2009.
And I, like, want to find him, and pay him at least $100 to just let me have that account. Anyway, so, just kind of to give a quick overview for the first, like, couple minutes, just so you understand where we're coming from. Obviously, this is a music-focused show. There's a lot of music in the world. We're not going to try to claim to be experts on all of the music. We have our certain interests, which we'll go into. But, yeah, this is just us as, like, millennials. I've lost half the audience already. Yeah. This is us just, like, our take on music news and things of that sort. So just for context, Sean, talk a little bit about your musical upbringing and, like, the music that you're into, the music that you like to partake in.
Yeah, so my music taste is very eclectic, to say the least. Big fan of Radiohead, as you see there, my three finals.
Yeah, so we're pointing off, because there is no camera, he has a moon-shaped pool... I want to say that's Pablo Honey.
Mm-hmm.
Hail to the Thief, which is a great Radiohead album, and OK Computer, all on his shelf. So we're talking to a big Radiohead fan. I won't call him Radiohead guy. He's not one of those, like, super hipster, hard to talk to people. But no, Radiohead is very much your bread and butter.
Yeah, classical music as well, as I play the piano, and then just a lot of house music as well, as I was brought up through that, being listening to a lot of things and whatnot through Europe. I mean, that's kind of the bread and butter.
Do you remember your first album that you ever bought?
Good God, no. I mean, probably something U2, maybe, when we did that when I was a kid. Cause I was really into them when I brought up. So that's what my parents listened to. My dad's big into rock and alternative as well, so he's shaped my... music tastes and interests as well. So, but yeah, it's kind of a general overview.
I will edit this part out. But I'm just...
Yeah, this is air conditioning.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So, you'd say mostly like
mainly alternative electronic, but house electronic, not, you know, the Dylan Francis poppy EDM that everybody likes now. Bullshit. Sorry. But I don't like that crap. I like the really trance, you know, chill, made out house as well, but alternative with classical and that. But just, I like so much. I like post-rock, ambient stuff, Sigur Rós, also one of my favorite bands. That's kind of a general overview.
Right.
Love it.
So for those of you who are immediately offended by saying, like, Dylan Francis EDM crap, that's kind of what I'm into, actually.
Yeah. We get the two different sides.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Yeah. My musical upbringing has to do a very lot with, like, 90s hip-hop, right as it was kind of turning into the gangster rap phase. I was raised with a lot of, like, De La Soul, N.W.A., kind of like those things. My very first album was Homework by Daft Punk. That's the very first album I ever like bought and was given on CD. So I love, I've always been into like dance music, electronic dance music, even before EDM was like a proper term.
It's like me with I can't think of the second album.
Yeah.
I'm totally blanking.
Whatever.
Why? Yeah, I don't know how I'm blanking because I have it.
We have computers here. You can research the second album. That is very, and the way this will work is that I can
discovery.
I can stall while you discover.
No, discovery. Yeah, that's one of the first ones that I bought as well. But I know I bought U2 before that for sure. I just don't remember which one it was. But this is like, I don't know, 1999, 2000. Something like that. So,
and I guess going off of that, my main bands I'm really into, obviously, Sean, you got me into Radiohead, maybe my second favorite band. My first is Gorillaz, just because I, like, they started existing right when I was a kid. The cartoon thing kind of really spoke to me as a child, because kids like cartoons and stuff, but naturally. No, but I really liked how they were able to blend a bunch of different genres. You got alternative rock, you got punk, you got, like, hip-hop. What has become Damon Albarn's admission to the world that yes, he does indeed have black friends is actually a really great like musical experience, I think. But yeah, I'm really into electronic music. I was into the rave scene almost as a high schooler.
Oh god, yeah, he was. I'm so sorry.
I was totally
folks.
A candy kid. I'm going to EDC this year. If hit me up if you're going. Please don't.
He's gonna die. I'm just telling
you. I will live. I will live to podcast another week. I wonder what we'll do for a podcast that week. But anyways, so yeah, that's kind of where I come from musically. And the reason we wanted to start this podcast is because we noticed that 2016 and 2017, as horrible as like many other events in the world has been, the music has been pretty great.
Yeah, right? It's kind of changed. The music scene for a while was kind of going downhill, in my opinion.
From 2009 to 2013.
It was like 2010, 2011 to last year, basically.
Right, when you had like the rise of like the... You had some of the Biebers, a lot of the other like celebrities like that.
Oh, yeah, that was called celebrity artists. Where everything sounds the same. You can, like, if you hear about 30 seconds into the song, you can guess the rest of the 4.5 minutes and be 90% correct. And that just kept going on for a good 5-6 years. And then last year, it seemed to switch. And there was, I'm talking about mainstream music. There's always underground things that people haven't heard of that are always great coming out. But the top level that, you know, most of the population gets to hear. The past about year and a half has been very well, very, very, very good, and it's kind of given a new hope to music, well, not mainstream music, I should say.
Yeah, the tagline for the show is that basically the world's gone to shit, but like the music's kind of great.
Yeah, exactly.
So at least there's good background music as we slowly descend into hell.
Yeah, pretty much. That's as political as we get.
Yeah, which... I love how you had a whole conversation about, like, the celebritization of music, because later on in the show, we're going to be talking about a little about your boy Kanye West. But no, first, basically, the way the show is going to work is going to open with... We're not going to open with this, like, long diatribe every single time. We're going to have news relating to the music industry, anything kind of relevant. We'll cover singles, things like that. The second block will usually cover, like, album releases that we're really into.
Album or single releases or any kind of release, basically.
Yeah. Releases depends. That like have some sort of like long-term sort of thing, but that might flow into the news aspect of it as well. We might have some sort of general discussion about like a topic relating to music at the third block or like the block after that, and then the last one, we'll try to talk about music that, you know, new artists that we've kind of stumbled upon based on our own interests that like we're personally into like as of late. So... What?
Nothing. I'm just... Google Docs amazes me sometimes.
Oh, yeah. We're on a Google Doc right now. This is fascinating. Anyway, so... let's go straight into the news. I think the biggest music news of this week is the death of Chris Cornell. He was...
Yeah.
An Audioslave.
The lead singer of Audioslave and Soundgarden. And it's very, very sad and tragic death.
Speak up slight bit.
Okay. Yeah. So very sad news with that. He apparently was taking anxiety medication.
Yeah.
And according to his wife, they were talking on the phone. He wasn't sounding right at all. He was kind of slurring his words or so. And then he said that he took too many. And then they didn't talk. And she was trying to get the hotel to go and find him or let them in, but then his bodyguard had to break down the doors. The hotel didn't want to go for privacy reasons, and then right. opened the bathroom door, saw that he and Fletcher, they hung himself. And
it's really
that's
sad.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a roundup of that. But so, it's he's such a great, you know, iconic voice of the 90s, really. You know, that big grunge sound of Soundgarden is just, it's huge. It shaped a lot of music for people. And it's very, very tragic and sad that he had fortunately passed. So that's kind of the big line for this week. Found that out through my mother. She said that dad was really sad because somebody passed away. And I go, what? And I looked it up and I go, oh, no way.
Right.
What on earth happened?
So with...
So...
I'll give full disclosure. I had previously never really heard of Chris Cornell. I'd basically kind of heard of Audioslave a little bit. So I can't really attest to kind of his musical legacy and things like that. I've heard, like, a few songs here and there, but by no means am I at all very, like... I don't understand his discography. I do kind of understand some of the medication. So apparently he was taking Ativan, and the side effects to a lot of these, okay. like... medications, especially in adults, involves suicidal thoughts or actions. And so an overdose could definitely lead to that. And I think there's a whole conversation you can like have around that, around surrounding mental health. That's another thing I'm working on another Syndicate 23 brand for Recording for Duty. Is there anything you can tell me about, for people who like know of him or don't know of him, like really how he impacted like 90s music specifically, or just even musicians in general?
Well, I mean, with Soundgarden in the 90s, he has a very iconic voice and kind of shifted him a lot, you know, with Nirvana and whatnot. They shifted music into the grunge scene back in the early 90s when, you know, everything in the 80s was going more electronic, pit poppy, you know, the more of that style, you know, New Order, late New Order-ish. And, with that, there's kind of voices that changed music, and he was one of them, with very, very iconic ones, you know, Super Unknown, such a damn good album. I love that. I mean, Black Hole Sun's one of my favorite songs. Like, my dad and I would put that on the, in the radio, we'd hear it up, and it'd be great. And, that's kind of the Reader's Digest version,
right,
more or less, of what he's done, but just... Look, I'm not too big on 90s music or so. My dad really likes it, but even then, he impacted it because I love Fell on Black Days, Black Hole Sun, Spoon Man, and songs like that from that album, and it's just really sad that
right.
that had to happen. And
it's definitely tragic when these, like... Because this happens a lot, especially with musicians. Like, even, like...
Yes, it's...
It's really tragic when all these musicians, like, take their own lives. Or you don't even know if this was intended suicide, per se. It could have just been, like, an overdose in the effects of the drugs.
Exactly, and that happens. And that seems to happen a lot with people taking too many sleeping pills or what...
This is particularly an anti-anxiety medication. In fact, this is close home because my girlfriend actually takes this medication.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you know, it's... Obviously, this is... It has different effects in different people.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it's obviously very sad when you have these side effects and then it takes people like this.
Yeah, so...
That's pretty much all we can cover with that. To move on to lighter news...
Yeah,
still
lighter.
Not very great with segues. let's go to LCD Sound System. They came out with two new tracks over the...
For the week, right?
Yeah, it was either a week or last week. So, full disclosure, we recorded like a... we recorded like a lost episode just to kind of do a test and kind of get our feet wet in the podcasting thing.
Back in April.
And that was done in April, and we had just seen Radiohead. And so, I'm still kind of lost track of time as far as that thing goes. As far as that goes, I want to try to keep it as far as what's happened in this past week of music. But if I jump around 2 weeks or so, give me a break. Anyway, so the two songs they released are Call the Police and American Dream. It's typical LCD Sound System fare. If you've heard them before, it's exactly what it was like now. And, you know, it's interesting because I remember hearing that LCD Sound System wasn't coming back. And to me, that coincided with rumors back in 2010, 2011 of, like, Gorillaz not forming back. And it really was, like, the end of an era for me because LCD Sound System, Gorillaz, I think they're on the same label at one point. It was, I think they're all Parlophone.
I believe so.
Pretty sure they're all Parlophone. But that was just like a specific sound. LCD sound system like had, they're part of the zeitgeist of the 2000s, I believe. Like, it's hilarious. I'm getting all these ads on Facebook now for these like 90s throwback dance parties, and a lot of them are LCD sound system themed. They obviously all play on like, oh, Daft Punk is playing at my house, that LCD sound system song.
Right, right.
But yeah, as for the new songs, Call the Police and American Dream. Call the Police is a little like heavier, a little faster. Sound system fair, American Dream's a little slower. I personally preferred American Dream more, but I'm very hopeful as to how this kind of turns out, I guess. I'm more than happy to see LCD Sound System come back and like really kick ass, but you never really know when these bands like come out of retirement. I mean, like, not everyone's Jay-Z.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody, it just depends on the artist and whatnot. Everybody can take their own break and see what they do. I mean, look at Radiohead, how long they've lasted, but Tom York, Johnny Greenwood, they've all done their own solo projects, along with Phil Selway doing his own album, I think, 2 years ago. And even Johnny doing a soundtrack for a...
several films.
And writing a new one right now for Paul Thomas Anderson's coming film. I don't know what the title is, but all I know is it's Paul Thomas Anderson along with Daniel Day-Lewis as the lead actors, and Johnny Greenwood doing the soundtrack as well. So that's... something coming up.
Yeah.
So it's always interesting with artists how some of them will pull back, do their own solo work. I mean, even Gorillaz has done that with Damon Albarn during doing his own solo albums and other stuff.
Oh,
coming
yeah.
back with Blur, and then coming back to do it with the Gorillaz. So I see yeah. that happening with
I find that with system. Artists when they like take breaks, when they take breaks to do other projects, that's when they kind of learn a lot. Because Damon Albarn's music is very influenced by everything he does. Like, Gorillaz's sound is very influenced by everything that Damon Albarn does when he's not doing Gorillaz.
Right.
Like, anytime he invites, like, someone from the 60s or 70s perform on the album, you get a little bit of, like, The Good, the Bad, and the Queen. Anytime he decides to convince everyone that he has, like, black friends, he'll invite, like, any of the rappers he's worked on with his projects.
So
he'll
MF Doom or...
like, working with Popcan on the new Saturn's Bars track. Like, all these very obscure things. But these are, like, aspects that Damon Albarn kind of like
or sweepstakes with that song.
Yeah, Most Def.
Most Def.
Yeah, that he definitely got from just like doing the live performances, because he just loves that kind of like carnival aspect. Yeah, so best of hopes for LCD Sound System. Speaking of throwbacks to the 2000s and 90s, we've got a little bit on Muse. Yeah.
Yeah, so Muse, it just happened to be kind of a coincidence for me listening to them. I was driving to my last final to school, and
so for context, really fast, Muse released a new single called Dig Down, and yeah, go back to that.
Yeah, so yeah, popped on the radio right then, and that was the first time it was played in the U.S. apparently, so kind of a chance sighting. So, and then they had a little interview afterwards citing the song and what they wanted to do with it. So the song is kind of, if you remember The Second Law, their album in 2012, very electronic-y, try to do a different sound, more bass heavy, I guess you could say. They went back to that sound more for this song. It's the past album, Drones, 2015, I believe.
Yeah.
It was more of their normal rock stuff, but this song is going back to their, you know, Madness or Panic Station, whatever, from that album.
Yeah.
And it's a very good song, in my opinion. I like it. So they had the interview, a little, about 10, 15 minute thing on it, and they wanted to inspiration for the world, because apparently they didn't think they were going to coming back with music this soon after their album. And
well, basically,
after they toured,
this was Muse has always been a fairly political band, and
fairly
like,
yeah,
and fairly. Their last album is called Drones.
Yeah,
I mean, like, let's not kid ourselves. Muse has always been a very political band, highly political band, you might say, and of course, every musician ever since the election has always had their like Donald Trump, Brexit, like
whatever
what is the world going take on things, and so of course it's kind of like expected that Muse would come out with something. I think I'm reading a Rolling Stone article where it's specifically like a response to like Trump related things.
Yeah, and they wanted to and difference for them to compare to a lot of other things. They wanted to show optimism for this one, for the future, and that's what they stated on their show. That they heard the song, they wanted to say, you know what, everything's looking bleak. We want to make music that it will show optimism for the future, you know, with people coming together or whatever they want. And I think that's a kind of a good different take, because everything else that I've heard music-wise or whatever the past year really has been really down on the future.
Definitely the lyric, "Face the firing squad, against all odds, you'll find a way," sings that very much.
Exactly.
Like,
it's perfect.
It's very, so my relationship to Muse is very interesting. Muse used to be maybe my third favorite band behind Gorillaz and Radiohead, but I feel like kind of after the Resistance in 2012, they kind of lost a little bit of their way. 2009, I'm sorry. Yeah. They kind of lost a little bit of their way as far as what their sound wanted to be. Every band, if you're around for like more than
a decade,
basically, you've got to keep what like makes your band unique, but also adjusting your sound, because you can't just
put out the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's definitely certain artists that I like, but they blur the line between, oh, we have a distinct sound, and oh, we're basically releasing the same song,
just over and just over, different choruses here or there, and again going back to what we were saying earlier with how music went downhill, that's what I felt like kept happening with just numerous artists keep pumping out albums that almost blended together, where you could say one song would sound the same on the same album. On a different album. And that was a big problem. So that's why I like the Second Law for Muse, because they try to change their sound, do something different. And I understand why a lot of people didn't like it. I mean, granted, the half the album's good, half the album is odd.
Because we were looking at the track list really fast, just because I hadn't heard in a while, of all the songs I liked on the album. And I can only say I liked Madness, Panic Station, Follow Me a little bit, and I sort of liked Unsustainable, just because it like fit in the album. But the rest of it really just wasn't Muse's best.
And apparently they say that they want to have, they want to release more music later this year. So that's something later on to go and check out. So hopefully it'll be interesting to see Muse produces.
I will say Dig Down is a step in the right direction for Muse.
I think
it took them a while to kind of get used to adapting to like electronic music while also keeping their sound.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of like that perfect mix.
Second Law was so close to doing that, and then Drones kind of veered away from that. Again, Drones to me was a little bit of like a lackluster album.
Yes, big unfortunately. Time, unfortunately.
I really wanted to love it, but I really couldn't.
Hopefully this is the gelling that gets those two albums, because if they can get that sound with both of them, it'll be brilliant.
Too bad it's 2017 and another decade's coming up and they're gonna have to refigure this shit out again.
Yeah, really.
So
next thing
as far as new singles goes, this is gonna be mostly me geeking out. Thank you, Sean, for like placating me. But Danger Mouse, Run the Jewels, and Big Boy released a collaboration together that was phenomenal. It was called, what was it, Chase Me? And it was done for this film, Baby Driver, which is a new film. I love Run the Jewels. I think Danger Mouse, who produced the track, is probably one of the top three best producers right now in the game.
Yeah, I would give you that.
At first, like, Sean had a little doubts, but like I just had to rattle off the Grey album, the mix of Jay-Z's Black album and the Beatles' White album, Gnarls Barkley with CeeLo Green, Demon Days with Gorillaz, Modern Guilt with Beck, basically all of the good Black Keys albums, Attack and Release, El Camino, Turn Blue. He's appeared here and there. Like, any song that you've heard from, like, an artist that was really good, it's a very good chance that, like, Danger Mouse, like, plays some role or influence at the very least.
Yeah.
MF Doom, how can I forget Danger Mouse? Danger Doom, sorry.
Danger Doom.
It's like, a funny album. One of the weirdest albums, but one of my favorite rap albums.
So fucking.
Like, ever.
It's a funny song.
No, but I really miss the era of, like, the big superstar rap collaboration. And to me, this is kind
of
it.
Yeah, or like even the superstar collaboration between genres, even.
Because that's what gives Gorillaz so much of its appeal. And Gorillaz is filled with a lot of collaborations. Some have argued too many collaborations. And I would maybe kind of agree. But a lot of those artists are newer, ones that are like up and coming or like otherwise kind of obscure, or like some of the retired ones. But I miss when all these like big artists, like good artists, would get together and just like spit on a track. This reminds me of that, because Big Boy is so great. One of my favorite Big Grams, the collaboration between Big Boy and Fantagram, was a great album because it just had a great sound. Big Boy's lyrics were great, and I really wish the good artists would go back to collaborating. Because you have all the, like, crappy, like, super... Like, you have the Miley Cyrus's collaboration.
Yeah, I mean, here's a good collaboration, like, going back a few years, which was Atoms for Peace.
Yeah.
Like, look at that. I mean, that's Tom York, Flea from Chili Peppers, drummer of Beck REM, producer of Radiohead.
Yeah.
Super band. Stuff like that. I like... So that's why when Dan just told me this, like, an hour ago or whatever, with Danger Mouse, Run the Jewels, and Big Boy, I go, wow, that's going to be very interesting. And we listened to it earlier, and sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I like it.
I love it, yeah. And I... Basically, just please give us more. Please, God, give us more.
Be great.
Yeah. Anyways, before we get into a discussion, this podcast is brought to you by absolutely no one because we have no sponsors. But I will say that I've been wearing MeUndies for the past 3 days and my balls feel great. So, MeUndies, if you would like to sponsor us, hit us up at info@danfromtheenter.net and I will give you many more great, authentic brand reads just like this.
So, a few weeks ago, Phoenix released a song, J-Boy, which I like a lot. Phoenix are a French band who speak English. You guys probably have known 1901, that's a mania, whatever. And they are releasing an album in June, I believe. So very excited for that. And that's kind of, I guess, the latest things that we have. And I really like all of it. Their last album, Bankrupt, was very well. I very good. How do English words good? I liked it a lot. Try to be cool. And
I apologize for being basic, but the only Phoenix album I really got into and I'm really comfortable talking about, like in full depth, is Wolfgang Amadeus.
Because you know 1901, you know Let's Submit. Yes.
I know all of those.
Yeah. So that's what most people heard. And then their last album in 2013 was kind of not. I mean, it was played a bit.
Bankrupt.
On radio. Yeah, Bankrupt. It was played a bit. It just has a picture of a fruit on their album, which I love.
Yeah, the peach.
Yes. I love that. And it was really good. I liked it. Similar sound, but a little more happy-ish in a way.
Yeah. That's something it's not that I hate Phoenix or don't like Phoenix. I just haven't gotten around to really digging into their discography. But what I've heard of Phoenix, like, my favorite Phoenix song from Wolfgang Amadeus is Fences. And
oh, that's very good.
That was, like, the official song of me in middle school. Listen to that song. I love that song.
Fences,
it's always in my head.
Fences Roam a Girlfriend. I remember listening to that in middle school as well. It's very well done. And, excited to see what they'll post in June. J-Boy is very good. Kind of a mixture of their last two albums. Not much of their first album. You won't hear that too much. But, excited to...
No, that's good. To me, a good band, especially a band like Phoenix, which has been around for almost... We're getting to the point, Sean, where bands that's maybe started in like the early 2000s are nearly 20 years old. At least 15 years old.
That's strange. That's just really strange. From Phoenix...
Welcome to your quarter-life crisis.
Seriously. I gotta like...
I have it up here. I think they...
They had one album, which I didn't listen to that much... Until actually lately, which is their first album, which I believe...
They've had albums going as far back as, I'm looking here, 2000.
2000, right?
For the United.
Which is, because you have...
17
Too Young from there, I believe, which I listened to. And then, what was it? If I Ever Feel Better. That was from that. And, which is good.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. 2000. Wow, that's...
We are getting hella old.
That is really strange. That is strange.
Anyways, any other news you got? I'm out of notable things.
For the week, or I guess 2-3 weeks, whatever. Yeah, pretty much.
Mostly keeping it to the last like week or two. I could go on and on about gorillas, but I'll probably do that in length later because I'm doing a Dan from the Internet video about gorillas actually. So, closer to the release of that, I'll talk about it because it ties in exactly with like Audio Face and everything that's going
on.
But anything else from this week you got?
No, that's pretty much it. I'm sure we're missing something.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We're obviously missing things. These are just the things that we thought were the most notable. Please let us know genres that you'd like to be represented or genres you'd like us to hear about. A lot of this is going to be music discovery on both ends, us to you all and you all to us. So, let us know. Okay, so on the next block, we'll be talking about Kanye West, and we have takes. We have opinions.
Yes, big opinions on Mr. West.
So the reason I'm bringing this up is because there is allegedly news of Kanye West hard at work producing an album, I want to say in Wyoming?
In the middle of nowhere. No, Oh, God.
I'm sorry. Our, like, California elite is showing. Once you get into, like, that part of the country where all the states are shaped like squares and mostly, like, filled with desert. No offense to Colorado. You're cool. Wyoming. Sorry. My hometown of Long Beach, California has more people than your entire state. But anyway, so Kanye West is at a Wyoming mountaintop retreat working on a new album, allegedly.
Here we go again, guys. Let's plug our seatbelts in. Let's take it for the Kanye ride. It's going to get weird.
So, Sean, what are your opinions on Kanye West? Keep in mind that we're recording.
Yes. Okay. First off. Okay. I'm going to give him props.
Okay. That's a nice place to start.
I'm going to give him his props to start with, and then it's only going to go downhill.
Okay. I'm strapped in.
So,
for the record, if you want to hear the other take, I am a little more sympathetic to Kanye West, so you'll get the pros and the cons here.
Exactly.
Fair and balanced. That's what we're going for.
No political references. Let's keep that nil.
Okay. Kanye. So, Kanye. Let's go about it.
His beginning work, I honestly do like. I mean, 808s and Heartbreak is a... Oh, God, that is an amazing album. I mean, that is definitive.
How about I take you down memory lane, and I'm just going to go...
Graduation. I mean, Heart of Best...
College Dropout.
College Dropout was the first one, right? In 2004?
Three.
It's close, guys. See, I don't sleep. I know my stuff.
Freshman Adjustment, 2, which I kind of, like, count or don't.
Don't count. No one listens to that.
Yeah, there's Late Orchestrate. I don't count that.
No, there's Graduation.
Yeah.
Which is 2000...
That's 2007.
2007.
But, yeah. College Dropout in 2004.
Yes. Which one I know a lot. Which was good as well.
Yeah, I love
so
this.
It was the whole thing of, like, the little bear symbol, you know, which always posted on his albums. To me, that was Kanye, you know, before this crap, but we'll get to this crap later on.
Okay, so where did it go wrong for you? I'll give you something to work off of. So in 2010, Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy was released,
which is still good.
2013, the world met Yeezus.
That's where it took the turn, was Yeezus.
And in 2016, we have The Life of Pablo, or TLOP, or as Sean calls it, FLOP.
FLOP.
As in flop, as in it was hot garbage.
It was.
To you.
Terrible. There was like 2 good songs, maybe, if that. Feedback was kind of okay. But anyway, so we'll start at the beginning. His early stuff was good. It was, you know, had his own sound to it, his own direction that he wanted to go. He wasn't trying hard or anything. He just had kind of his own take on different subjects, different things that were going on in the world at the time. And I genuinely liked it. It was good music. 808s and Heartbreak, as I said earlier, such a great album. Just fantastic from top to bottom. As well as Graduation, which was before that. And then it kind of started to take a turn around, like, when he started to act out, you know, do stupid things, you know.
When Kanye became less of a musician and more
of a celebrity, exactly. Before he was a musician, it was all about that, and then he started to kind of sell out, become a celebrity, become a big name, act different, act weird, whatever it is.
The Kardashians got involved.
And then, yeah, and that's when just shit hit the fan, everything went tits up, everything went down from there, in my opinion. I don't like any of his recent stuff, really. I mean, on the first song on Yeezus was good because it was Daft Punk. That's the only reason why it was good, because of Daft Punk. I mean, and then the rest of the album was just terrible. I mean, Come Get Me Get Me a Chocolate Croissant, or whatever it was one of the lyrics.
Hurry up with my damn croissant.
Yeah, hurry up with my damn croissant. I'm like, okay,
That's I Am a God.
That's I Am a God. It's like, okay, yo, you're not a god. You're not Tom York. You're not.
And the song
whatever.
That he's referencing
you're
that was good, produced. The song he was referencing that was good, produced by Daft Punk, for the record, is Black Skinhead.
It was, well, the other one featured them, their first song, I believe. That was. It should have been the beat. It should have been On Site.
Yeah.
On Site should have been also produced by Daft Punk, I believe. Or
sampled them.
Yeah. Because that's why it was good. Because that intro, that beat is really good. I like it.
I remember Daft Punk describing it as Kanye West yelling primally once they got the track down. And they're like, okay, we'll go with it.
Yeah, it sounds like that. Even, yeah, it works. So, yeah, okay, that album, hot garbage. And then this last one, Life of Pablo. Good
T-Lock
God.
Or F-Lock.
He was like, LeBron James going to make the decision. It's like, what is he going to, how is he going to make this album? How is he going to drop it? Am I going to do it through Spotify? No. Is it going to be an iTunes exclusive? No. It's going to be this or that? No. You can only get it through a backside website, and you have to pay him directly because he somehow got broke. But then Adidas funded it.
asking for
making shoes that are like a grand. It just every what is going on? It just doesn't make sense. It's so stupid, so high-tidy celebrity crap.
So I'll give my take. I'll give my take given what I guess I have a softer take on Kanye West. So
we'll go from there.
Vox did a great video about like what makes Kanye Kanye, and I think a lot of it is about how in his music vocals really take the key. Not just his vocals and the tone of his voice, which is very distinctive, like the backup but like stuff, yeah. Think of Jesus Walks. That entire song is like like it's the vocals really carry it. Power, kind of the same thing. That
carries it.
So Kanye West has like kind of got that style for him, and like that's what kind of still remains consistent through all of his albums. Unfortunately, I think it's the only thing that remains consistent musically. Yeezus, I actually grew on me. I'll be honest. I liked On Sight. I liked Black Skinhead. I actually liked I Am a God.
Black Skinhead is good, and the rest I can't deal with.
New Slaves, good song. Blood on the Leaves, I liked, and Bound 2, like it's catchy. It'll get
going to that theme. The backup vocals of Bound 2 is good. In the very beginning, Bound 2, Fall in Love, be great.
Honey. You got sick of that in 2013. You definitely got sick of that.
Oh, God, yeah. I heard that way too much. I wanted to pull my hair out.
Right? So, I mean, like, there's that. I will agree with you that I'm a lot less forgiving of The Life of Pablo. That was just an entire, like, mess from start to finish. But I will say that that kind of represented the music industry at the time.
That's a perfect representation.
I say at the time. It was released Valentine's Day in 2016. It's, like, last year. But one story that I wanted to put on the rundown but I totally forgot about was the fact that Apple Music is starting to stray away from using exclusives in order to sell things. So before, in 2015 and 2016, when Apple Music and Google Play Music and Tidal and they're all, like, trying to match Spotify's, like, numbers by getting exclusives. They got exclusives with Drake.
Drake, yeah.
Who's the other artist related, like Kanye or Jace, Taylor Swift, right?
Okay, I mean, they've got, I can't think of it on the fly. They had a lot of, I know they tried to do it through getting exclusive to bigger names, but they didn't.
Yeah.
It's sometimes not successful.
The idea is that, like, a notable artist, like Drake, for example, would say, hey, my new album is exclusively streaming on Apple Music. But what that meant was that for the first 3 weeks or a month, if you wanted to hear the album, you had two options. You buy it physically, or you buy it digitally through
Apple.
This is all option one through Apple, but you could buy
it through like a music store.
So it's like, you could buy it in a music store, and a lot of these exclusive Apple albums you could buy on Google Play Music, but you had to like physically buy the album. You couldn't
right. You can stream it.
You had to throw down your $11.99 and you had to buy it. Your second thing was to just stream it off of Apple Music. Most people do stream their music because we're at the point in the music industry where people don't want to spend $12 on new albums per se. They just want to pay a flat rate and get all the music they want to, ideally ad-free.
Which, again, has its pros and cons, as everything does
but
in the world.
To the Kanye conversation.
Yes. Going back to that.
It's a representation of that era where, like, exclusives really matter. You get big deals for these exclusives on all these different, and another weird experiment that Kanye wanted to do that I think didn't work well was that it was like a live breathing album. I think it was released on Tidal originally first. The idea was that he would edit the songs as he went through over time, and that hasn't really held up. He's only made I think like two or three real edits to the album. So for example, if you heard the song Feedback when it came out versus the song Feedback now, I actually have the different MP3 files.
It's different.
Yeah, it's like the lyrics are the same, the musical progression is slightly different, but it doesn't wholly change the album. Another few songs are a little like changed here and there. They're tweaked, I'd say. They're tweaked.
They're not changed fully. Yeah.
Which is like a cool idea of having like almost a Wikipedia of an album, where it's like living and breathing and can constantly change and tweak. But obviously that works for streaming, but that doesn't work for any sort of physical medium. That was just a mess. And then I want to talk about Kanye's antics really fast because I really don't know what's going on with him. I want to be sympathetic. I want to be sympathetic and say that, like, the death of his mother, a lot of things he's going through with the limelight is having, like, a lot of pressure on him talking about mental health in the Black community is not something that is generally, like, you don't really do. It's just, like, something that you don't really deal with.
Yeah, it's not said that much.
Trump, he had that whole thing where, like, he met with Trump, and that raised some eyebrows, because most of Kanye's fans are, like, to the left, I would say. Most people who, like Trump probably detest Kanye West and think he's representative of culture that I won't get into, but, like,
not get political, guys.
Back to the album. Like, famous, controversial, but a good song off of Life of Pablo.
Right.
Fade, also, I think, a great song. I love It's Too Bad that's the song on the end, and, like, you have to get through the entire rest of the album to actually really like it. I will say that Real Friends is pretty good, and Feedback, yeah, of course we love Feedback. We love, Sean and I particularly love blasting Feedback in the car,
because yeah,
you get a fur, you get a fur, you get a jet, like, that's hilarious.
That's the only song I like on the
Big
album.
Big booty bitch for you.
Just because it's so stupid, it's funny. The rest of it, to me, it's just garbage. It's not stupid, it's just terrible.
Right, so what, do you think that Kanye isolating himself, allegedly, and making this new album, do you think it's going to turn out better, or do you think this is more bravado from someone who claims he's like the musical Steve Jobs? Because
I don't know, I'm on the fence, because sometimes I'm pessimistic about it, but at the same time it can be something good. It can be he breathes new light, maybe gets shuns away from the spotlight for once in the past 7 years. He can actually, you know, go back and hide and kind of do his own thing and maybe do different new music and make it better in a way.
Yeah.
But then there's the pessimistic side of me, which is more of a, if he's just doing it for show, like he did with The Life of Pablo, the same thing of just, and it's going to be maybe more crap, maybe more of the same, just doesn't make sense, doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
And,
I would like to see Kanye West absolutely, like, I want to see Kanye West do what we talked about other artists earlier, where they adapt to they just adapt to new music. They learn what the new sounds are, they know what the new trends are, and then they can adjust off of that and really, like, evolve their sound. I think Kanye specifically needs to do he really needs to look into himself. He really needs to see, just like, not even as a musician, but as a person, why he's doing this, why he's doing everything. You also gotta say that whether he intended this or not, we're talking about him, everyone talks about him when he does something, so he's kind of got this Kardashian, I'd even say Trump kind of way of not being the kind of person you expect to make headlines, but someone who has the ability to make headlines and manipulate the media in a way that, and generally, like, can work in your favor.
Yes.
And so I think there's something to be said that Kanye, either unbeknowingly or not, I would say he knows, has a skill to create hype, to create news, and I just hope he uses his powers for good. Not just for good, like, ethically or morally, but to, like, make his music as good as it should.
Yeah, make it good for just music in general, not just the industry.
Yeah, because I think, as a musician, your music should speak first, and then you can release whatever, like, $125 t-shirts and, like, shoes you want to after that. Okay, like, rappers are rappers, all right? But,
Cake's delicious.
I'm Black. I'm not making any, like, racist points. I'm just saying, like, sometimes, like, rappers do bravado. Sometimes any artist does bravado. I'm not, like, just putting that out there. But no, I want the music to back it up. And I think Kanye can still do it. And I think Kanye should get help. I think he should get a producer just to make sure that he doesn't stray too far away from what his vision is, so he knocks that down. But I'm cautiously optimistic. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, yeah, I'll give you that. And that's why we kind of went on a Kanye tangent right now. It's just, releasing a new album, so trying to predict what it may be, and he's such a big figure in music that even people who aren't big into music or anything know who he is.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I'm saying again. He has such an impact on the industry and on other musicians that it's a big thing that hopefully it's not crap. Basically. Yes. Hopefully it's not crap.
Kanye West, final take. Hopefully he doesn't suck anymore.
Yep. Don't suck.
All right. And then that'll lead us into the last block of the show, where we get to talk about music that we've discovered.
Yeah, we discovered
music that you all discovered. Please send us in music you want us to hear. We'll give it a try. We'll talk about whatever y'all submit.
I'm open to anything. I listen to anything and everything.
Yeah, between both of us, like,
yeah, we're covered.
Yeah, there are things that Sean likes that I don't. There are things that I like that, you know. I will even give country music a try. I don't like country music that much. Yeah, but there are some country songs
some of it's
I like.
Decent. I mean, I'm big in classical. I mean,
but
we have piano. And
please
everything.
Don't. Yeah. Please send us like.
No. I'm just saying in general. But yeah. Like, there's so much. I mean, there's so many different genres. So.
Anyway, tell us about Feed Me.
Okay, so me being big house music guy, different electronic stuff, but good electronic stuff. So
debatable.
So there's an artist named Feed Me who he's done some stuff past couple of years or whatnot that is good. Usually I didn't like it too much. It's more heavier electronic, more dubstep-y, not full dubstep, but a little too much, too many big drops for me that I don't normally like. But Dudmau does every...
I'm all about the drops.
Yeah. Every first Thursday on BBC, it's called The Residency, where he plays for about, 2 hours or so?
Right.
Different tracks that he loves, just as a big set. And there's a bunch of other artists in the BBC Residency that are going on. And so this past one, which was 2 weeks ago, he had a song from Feed Me, because apparently he's on Mousetrap Records, which is what, you know, Deadmau5's label. I go, whoa, okay, I haven't heard Feed Me in a while. The first song was great. So on the 19th, so 2 days ago, or yesterday actually, he released the Existential Crisis, and that's the first title of the song as well. And
an EP.
It's great, an EP, yeah. And there's 5 songs on it. It is great. If you're big into Deadmau5-y style of music, the first and last track is that, and it's perfect for you.
Yeah.
So I love that album, sorry, EP so far. And it's good to hear different stuff, especially with Deadmau5 getting Mousetrap out there and getting more and more artists and everything.
Yeah.
And,
I've seen Deadmau5 making a lot of waves lately.
Which is great for him.
Yeah, that's good.
Album late last year, like last week of December, was great. And it was good because he was kind of falling out. It's kind of self-conscious, you know,
after
2015.
I think Deadmau5 and a lot of artists who, were at the very beginning of the quote-unquote EDM wave before...
Yeah, 2008, 2009.
Before EDM was really, centered as a concept.
Mm-hmm.
They've been very critical about what the industry's become, because it's very much become, chain smokers and festivals. By the way, we were debating heavily whether or not we're going to have our take on the chain smokers.
That's gonna be
on
a
this
hot
episode.
Take.
We'll do that next episode. We'll work the kinks out. We'll work the bugs out, and
we'll
get that done next episode.
That's gonna be a big take. But anyways.
Deadmau5, for example, has been particularly critical about the way the industry has gone.
Big time.
He's criticized a lot of artists. He's called out a lot of artists personally. I want to say. He had a thing with Calvin Harris or someone.
He bashes.
He called out.
He called out Calvin Harris. He's called out Skrillex multiple times. I mean, even though him and Sonny are friends, he speaks his mind and very very critical of the industry, how it's going.
He
and,
refuses to perform at EDC.
Did EDC back when it was in LA. One of the first EDCs at the Coliseum.
Yeah.
And then since then, that's when it kind of shifted into what it is today. And since then, he's hated it.
And
I understand why.
Yeah, as someone who, I like a lot of these music festivals just as, my own personal escape, my own personal vacation. But they've become more commercialized. When we saw Radiohead in April play at the Greek Theater in Berkeley the first night, they were basically shitting on Coachella, basically every other song they played. Because they had this, for context, they had this big... kerfuffle at Coachella where a lot of their audio equipment worked. They walked off stage
twice.
Yeah, and so there's just not a lot of love for these artists for these
festivals.
For these festival gigs. But the sad thing is it's because of the things we talked about earlier, where the music industry is at this point where
it's at a crossroads.
Album sales aren't doing it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Streaming isn't getting you a lot of money. Even if you're putting in Radiohead or even big celebrity numbers like your Taylor Swift's, your Drake's,
Beyonce, whatever.
You're still not making your money on that. You're making your money off of advertising partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not big enough to be Drake and have your own Beats commercials, I don't know if Drake has his own Beats commercials, but if you're not big enough to do those ad deals, then festivals and concerts are your bread and butter. It's exhausting. You have to go out and tour, but just to make being a musician
worthwhile.
Worthwhile. You've got to tour and you've got to sell out shows. And you've got to come to these
festivals
because they will
they pay top dollar. And That's what Deadmau5 is saying he's been hating so far, and I understand that.
It's a big change.
Big, big change in the electronic scene, because for years and years and years, it's always been underground. You know, like, that's what I grew up on as well. Underground French house music, basically, or French or English house music. And people asked me what I listened to when I was a kid, and nobody knew what it was before. And then until, what, even it was 2013 is kind of when it started, so not even 3-4 years ago. It's just now started to hit the big mainstream, and it just exploded. So, yeah, Deadmau5 has really hated it. And then he kind of went down for a little bit because of that, since he wanted to stick doing his own thing. But now with Mousetrap, he's getting more and more artists on board, and it's great. Like, yeah, representing Feed Me with this AP and other stuff. I mean,
yeah, but not to make this about, like, the industry as a whole.
No.
Going back to Feed Me specifically.
Yes.
I heard the first and the last song. It's Deadmau5 good and bad, in the sense that I don't want to make it seem like Feed Me is a direct copy off of Deadmau5. What I love about Deadmau5 and the fact that it's very consistent. At times, it can be like
repetitive, but it's crisp, it's clean.
Yeah, it's good. Very clean.
I love that.
It just plays. It's almost smooth. Like progressive. It's like a precursor to progressive house, where always goes up and then always goes down. Crazy Maybe, I really liked.
Does that features
Kill the Noise and then Julie?
Yeah.
Both. I think both of those are the strong songs. Again, this is an EP. It's an EP from a relatively new artist. I think they have another Feed Me's Family Reunion. Was an older one before he was signed with Mousetrap. I'm very encouraged by this. I want to see how this artist grows. I want to see how they develop, because, again, I can never judge an artist off of their first EPs. It's like someone judging us off of our first podcast. It's going to be a little rough around the edges, right?
Of course. It's a good start, and that's why I wanted to tell about it, because get more and more people listening to that, and there's actually Deadmau5 has his residencies up on YouTube, all 5 of them. Some guy puts them on. So go listen to it.
Because residencies?
Yeah, the BBC residency. It's the 2-hour-long show that I talked about earlier.
Right.
I highly recommend, if you're big into electronic or house, whatever, go listen to it, because he has such a wide variety of artists. I mean, Kolsch is another one, which is, he's another guy in residency. Danish producer and artist. He's produced great, great tracks. I mean, 1977 is such a damn good album. And so there's more and more artists like that I want to get out to people and kind of have them listen to have their own take on it. So
yeah, how about let's do this? One song you could listen to from Feed Me. One song that people out there should listen to. I would say Crazy Maybe. Up to you, though, because this is your recommendation.
Yeah, honestly, Existential Crisis, the first track on the EP is fantastic. I've never heard of Feed Me before. Actually, well, I've heard of him a little bit, but I totally forgot. And then when Deadmau5 played that first song last Thursday, I heard that and I go, who the hell is this? Oh, it's Feed Me. I go, isn't that weird thingy with like the weird frog green face thing that I thought was like, I didn't
referencing
know
referencing the album cover. You look up the album cover
all of his stuff. It's always what it is. It's like, I don't even know what to describe.
I'm actually looking at this. So he has a release before called Calamari Tuesday. I haven't heard of this personally, but it looks like he's got a lot of stuff out there. And yeah, he's got very much like he has an animal that represents him, so kind of Deadmau5 a little bit. Not exactly Deadmau5, but like...
It's different. I like that. It's their own signature. Existential Crisis, I recommend listening to. And then try to check out his other work. And hopefully makes more and more stuff, especially on Mousetrap. I mean, that's such a good label now to get a part of.
I really like what... and this is another thing I'll talk about more in the Gorillaz conversation, about how these bands... in trying to find new rays of revenue that also make music better.
Yes.
These bands are these big artists are giving back to music by turning themselves into brands. Like, again, like I can go on with Gorillaz, what they're doing with their music festival. Deadmau5, what he's doing with his like label. You can even go to Major Lazer and some of the like work that they're doing. it's you're watching the music industry change, and a lot of these changes are for the better as far as like the artists that get a chance to like kind of make their name and things, and the music that's coming out of it.
Yes, and that's it's great. So,
okay, and then the last thing I wanted to plug before we end the show is Roosevelt.
Roosevelt. Yeah, oh, so, my God.
I'll tell you the story about this. So Roosevelt is a musician from Germany, English speaking.
From Köln.
Yes.
Cologne.
Friends. Cologne.
If you don't speak German.
If you don't speak German, it's Cologne. If you do speak German, it's Köln. Right. But I first discovered Roosevelt on Spotify through an EP.
Elliot, I believe. What's the EP? Right? What's this EP?
I'm trying to go through Spotify right now to figure out what
it was
Elliot. Called.
Should be Elliot. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Elliot, which featured four songs. Elliot, Around You, Montreal, and Sea. And yes. I was really digging the vibe and sound of Montreal a lot. If I could describe it.
Try
to describe Roosevelt pre self-titled album.
Okay, so it was electronic-y, but with like a disco electronic, but with a full band. It's yes. really hard to describe. It's a very, very unique sound.
I will cautiously compare Roosevelt to Disclosure, not in sound, but in setup. In the sense that
yes.
they're going for yeah. an electronic kind of groovy sound. But
it's not house, not like Disclosure straight house. This yeah. one's more alternative. Basically, if you put you know how Disclosure wanted to do something different with house, he's doing something different with alternative rock.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that same vibe, more yeah. or less. And yeah, I remember you told me about it a while ago. Look out for Roosevelt. And I go, okay, I've never
So I discovered Roosevelt in yeah. May of last year in 2016. And his first album, self-titled Roosevelt, came out in August of 2016. And I actually saw Roosevelt live when he played in San Francisco in September. He's doing a few tours as we speak, I believe, in Europe. But
yeah, a lot in Germany. And he was out here touring the States for a little while, too.
I think he's going to head back to the recording studio pretty soon and get yeah. started on some new music. Because he's made, like, a lot of waves. I'm looking at just Spotify right now. Hold On has got... I'm sorry, Fever has 10 Fever. Million plays on yeah. Spotify.
Fever's is going to be his top. So, yeah, Dan told me about it. That album dropped, and it is one of the best albums I've heard of in the last decade, really. Where
if you
it's just
like,
totally different, totally new. Love it. So, so good.
If you like The Weeknd's newest stuff, but you want it to be a little less poppy, a little more alternative, I would definitely give this a try. Because the Starboy... had a lot of, like, trying to mix 60s, like, 70s and 80s, like, groove and funk with electronic music, but with, like, kind of, like, The Weeknd's vocals over it.
Yeah, and his is too poppy, and, honestly, he tried too hard. This Roosevelt just stuck true to himself.
Right.
Completely. And it's took such a good new life into a different, into a genre that's
yeah.
been, you know, kind of in the down spiral in the past 5-6 years.
But I think, like, what Roosevelt is to me is he's the best of what I like in music. I like what I like
perfect in
the
sense
that you are branching out and discovering how you can how you can take different influences that you enjoy and make that a new, unique sound that other people can enjoy.
Correct. So, like, I don't even know what my favorite song is on that album.
And also, like, the album itself. So, if I had to critique the album Roosevelt... I'm not sure if the flow of it is all that good. Like, as an album,
the flow towards the end gets a little wonky, but the first five songs,
yeah,
flows just so well together.
I will say that what the album lacks in flow, when I think of an album and when I review an album in the future for the record, what really works well for me as an album is I see an album as a work of art altogether as an art piece, and so. Every song needs to work with the song before it and the song after it for mm-hmm. it to have, like, a complete feeling result. This album doesn't have that, but almost every single song on its own is great.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
because
I'm looking like...
Every song on it is good. There's not a bad
Wait up,
song on
love
that.
Love it. Night Moves, love it. The intro is actually kind of great.
The intro is really cool.
Lovely. Yeah. Moving On, phenomenal. Heart, I'm a little iffy on. Colors is a banger. Like... that was released before this album even came out.
Yeah,
I think that was like the lead single, maybe.
It was a single released a month before, because I remember hearing that. Actually, Morning Becomes Eclectic put that on KCRW here in Southern California, which is NPR for Southern California. In the mornings, they play Literally, morning becomes eclectic, so you don't know what the hell you're getting. And they played Roosevelt, and they played that. Their single, and I go, whoa, this is... I'm like, is this the guy that Dan told me about?
Yes.
And then I remember he said that. Yeah, I go, holy crap, this is really good. So, and then the whole album, it's just fantastic.
I'll put it like this. If you're into fast songs and upbeat songs, I would definitely recommend Colors. And if you're into slower songs, I'd recommend Moving On.
Moving On, and then Night Move. Night Moves.
Night Moves is a little more upbeat, I would say.
Yeah, okay, yeah. We'll see that.
My favorite off of the album is... it's either...
Mine's probably Night Moves, honestly. Night Moves or...
Actually, no. Heart. Because of the bass line, I'd have to... Because I'm a... So,
yeah, you
I didn't mention this earlier, but I play bass, was my primary instrument. I know, so black. but also, like, guitar, piano, synthesizers, drums, melodica, harmonica, all those things. Yeah. But I'm a sucker for a good bass line, and Hold On has a great bass line that kind of leads through it. Even better live, but if you don't have that opportunity... You can't. I'd say you can't really go wrong with the album if you have made it this far in the podcast and you kind of vibe with what we like.
Yeah, it's. I really want more and more people to go and listen to him. He's relatively small, unknown, and
but he's definitely like getting.
But he's gaining traction, and I want to get more and more people listen to his. I think he can just. His stuff is so well done.
If music is going to sound like if Roosevelt is like a new wave of music,
oh please be it. Oh. That'd
I'm not saying that's what it's going to be. I'm not. I don't want to oversell Roosevelt by any means. But like, if he has any inclination of like where music is going, I'm very happy.
Yes. Yeah. I as well.
I think we killed it. I think we did it. Right.
I believe so.
Yeah. That was the rest of the podcast. If you like the podcast, please subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play or Pocket Cast is an app I like, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're going to be there. If you have angry messages about defending Kanye West, please direct them to @SWSuarez. if you have angry messages about my subtle racial jokes, even though I'm black, please direct those to @DanFromTheWeb on Twitter. Follow us on all the things, and yeah, we'll be back next week with another episode, unless y'all hate us that much. Thank you. Oh, one last thing. I also wanted to plug Caesar's podcast.
That they just randomly recorded.
We made it.
Yeah, the We Made It podcast. Which is all on soccer.
So if you're into sports and you like, honestly, a
football
better...
with your feet.
Yes.
Stupid America with your feet. Okay.
Please direct all angry football-related tweets to @SWSuarez. No, but if you're into... This is a podcast by another one of our close friends that just
Bam and Caesar. And they did the We Made It podcast all about soccer / football, whatever you want to call it. And they know their stuff so much.
Yeah. This is, like, quite frankly, at this point, their podcast is better than ours. But
probably.
But no, it's a great podcast if you're into all things, like... the rest of the world, football, America, soccer. They really go in depth with all the trades they're talking about, and I really recommend you give that a listen. But other than that, thank you so much, and we will be back next week, freaks.
Yeah, cheers, guys.